This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this hump day. Very, very special ENN, too. Michael, Don, you guys are great people, and you're always doing good things for people. I know, Michael, you love to spend as much time as you can volunteering. Am I right or am I right?
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Well, guess what? There's a perfect sponsor for you for ENN. ENN tonight is brought to you by our friends at Coors Seltzer. Coors Seltzer is looking for volunteers to help save our rivers. Whatever you're doing, if you drink a Coors Seltzer, you're volunteering. Each 12-pack sold will help restore 500 gallons of river water. Drink a seltzer, help save the Hudson River. Details at CoorsSeltzer.com. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Defensive end Melvinningham? Vinningham?
It's underrated. It truly is. And then I'd also like to say, if you can, good evening to Don.
I never dated a Judy. Do we ever get the Congers drop to see if it's as spectacular as I think it might be?
Maybe RJ was checked out.
We didn't get there. All right.
Well,
RJ's not what he used to be. Let's be honest. He's not the same.
Oh, really? I mean, come on.
He's better when we're all in studio.
No. He
derives energy from that.
He's currently giving me more audio right now. That's
fine.
I won't have you go up and in on my guy. He's the show's MVP.
Okay.
Just the fact of where he is. You wouldn't do what he's doing right now.
That, exactly right. That alone makes him the MVP, even if he was just mailing it in once he was there, and he's not.
Well, I might do it because there's nobody in that building other than him.
So Nick Saban has tested positive for COVID-19, according to Tom Rinaldi of ESPN. He's 68 years old. He was informed of the positive test earlier today. He left the football facility immediately.
The AD also tested positive.
Alabama supposed to play Georgia on Saturday night. Guys, what's the likelihood if the head coach tests positive? I mean, you would just have to think there's a high likelihood that players would also test positive.
Well, today's Wednesday? I guess they could just continue to test the players, and if there's no positive tests,
they'll play. To coach the team if they play. I wonder what Dan Mullen thinks today. You know, Dan Mullen, the Florida coach, they were going to play LSU, and he said he wanted to fill the swamp with 100,000 people. And now he can't play because his team has 18 positive tests, and they had to cancel the game or postpone it. Wonder what he feels. He feels like a complete nozzle.
Probably doesn't feel anything at all. Probably still going to want to do it.
Yeah, that goes against your philosophy, Michael, in terms of what you want Don to do with his friends, and that's drain the swamp.
But he doesn't, so he doesn't listen.
But I don't understand why I have to. They're my friends. There are some friends I let go, Michael. I don't have to make public announcements about it.
But there are some friends that are like ticks. They'll just suck the blood out of you.
To you. But how you feel about them is irrelevant.
None of your friends are ticks to me. I don't even know them.
But you seem to know them enough that I should drain them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think
that's wrong, Peter?
Yeah, I mean,
one of the problems, especially with successful athletes, they always feel that they can't turn their back on their past because it looks like they're big timing their friends. But those friends might not be good for you. You might have to drain the swamp. You can't let negativism bring you down.
But Don, that's not actually an issue with Don. He doesn't have any negative friends who are holding him back. How's it working out for him?
We'll talk off the air.
Wow.
No, why don't we talk on the air since you're so emboldened by talking about, you know, draining the swamp and ticks and all that garbage. You know, why don't you talk it up?
Love
the people that I'm friends with. And Ballard, I think, is terrific. Why do you always go after Peter's friends? It's amazing what you're doing.
Yo, he goes after friends in general. Except there's only one friendship he respects, the Fugazi one between him and DiPietro.
How about the one between me and Breen? That's a real friendship.
Yeah.
But all your real friendships are with
Why are you so hesitant
people?
To
Don,
that?
What was the argument we had about Michael when we were all, who was it that he argued was like a top five friend and we said no way? You remember that argument?
Yeah, but I don't remember who it was. But I find it curious that all of Michael's good friends are famous.
That's not true.
Oh, well, here's all we have to do. So Mike Breen is your best friend.
He's certainly in the running, yeah.
Who else in that that real
really,
first
nobody,
year?
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Did you hear who got married, Peter?
Wow. Are they going to care about this?
Yeah. I know you will.
Go ahead.
Larry David.
Oh.
Oh. Not an invite?
Not an invite. Didn't even know until I read about it.
LD got married to his girlfriend, huh? Remarried.
Mm-hmm.
Good for LD.
Now, if you found out that there were like 500 people at his wedding, would you be upset?
Not a bit, no.
What's the number you would be upset at?
140,000 people.
You're lying. No COVID.
No,
normal
I would never think he would invite me to his
wedding. Hold on. At 500, you wouldn't be offended?
No, absolutely not.
After all the events you've hosted for him, you don't think you deserve a top 500?
I've hosted events for him. I mean, we don't break bread. Mind.
I'm so almost
this is this is really not a friendship.
It's what it feels like.
You've seen us interact.
Who do you consider
we're friends,
a friend
you've
never broken bread with?
I thought you were friends, but yeah. I mean, I would want you. I would think if he had hundreds of people at the wedding, you should be invited.
I think you'd be wrong.
Would you invite him if you got remarried?
No.
Really?
You wouldn't ask him to if you renewed the vows. You wouldn't ask him to come in and be the minister?
I asked him to write the foreward for my book. He said no.
It's a great point. No, Michael makes a
fantastic.
He's
going to go to my wedding?
Great point, Michael. No, you're done. You won.
No, you're right. He wouldn't.
He said
wouldn't
he was too busy.
Mm. Now that's.
And then a week later, because he's Larry David and that's why I love him, he said, I'd like you to host an event for me at the Y.
And he said,
I
recognize.
I know I turned you down for the forward, but I my mother said you never find out unless you ask. So I said, I'll do it.
Wow.
God, he's got you by the nose, by the short ones.
The short nose? Never heard that before. All right.
That's right. The short hairs of his nose.
I do have short hairs on my nose. They're annoying.
Part of aging.
No, you want to talk?
When you have hair in the ear, that's part of aging.
Ugh, it's your pug. Something we all deal with.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go back to some baseball last night, shall we?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know we said we were all kind of checked out on baseball, and then what ended up happening was a kind of fascinating night of baseball.
I'm back in, baby.
What was it? Is it the Altuve drama, or was it just the 8-7 Braves-Dodgers game?
The Altuve drama on top of the fact that the Rays are playing the most unbelievable defense because the Astros about hit them by a lot. But the Rays just make plays when they have to. I mean, stunning plays. Hunter Renfroe made two great plays in right field. Kevin Kiermaier made a great play. They've made great defensive plays. I love that. Love it. And the Altuve stuff is fascinating.
Let's start with the Altuve stuff, and let's hear from Astros manager Dusty Baker about Altuve's issues.
You know, we're giving him all support that we can, and, you know, nobody feels worse than Jose, because he takes it very serious and takes it to heart. I mean, he's one of ours, and we've all been through this before. Not in this spotlight like this. It hurts us all to see him hurting, and we'll give him all the support that he needs.
Do you think Yankee fans at all have any sympathy for him?
Zero.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think people think it's karma more than anything.
Yeah, I was going to say,
they think
karma.
It's guilt. They think he can't throw the ball straight because of guilt. It's weighing
too
heavy.
It's a Godsmack. I think it's a Godsmack.
That's deep.
Now, we haven't really talked much about the Dodgers-Braves game yesterday. Braves were up 8-3 in the ninth. Dodgers score four straight, come up just short at 8-7. Let's first hear from Corey Seager, who says the Dodgers are not out of the series yet.
This team's got a lot of fight. We've done it all year. We were one swing, one anything away from tying that ball game and going into extra. So it's never over until it's over. You know, this is a long series. You know, we're looking up to the challenge.
Dodgers lead 1-0, top of the first inning.
There you go.
There you go. No, listen,
you know what I found most fascinating about these last two games? I don't know if you even realize this, Don, if you've checked in enough. So two games in a row, Mark Melancon is warming up for the Braves. Two games in a row, he catches Ozzie Albers' home run without moving.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, it's unbelievable. He stands there, he's looking up, raises his glove, catches the home run. He does the same thing yesterday.
That is crazy.
Positioning is everything.
Dodgers are still very much alive, Mike.
Oh, very much.
They're not going to be able to come back from 3-0 down, but dropping the first two in a neutral site.
But I believe that they're so much better than the Braves, they could come back from 3-0.
You mentioned Mark Melancon, or as I refer to him, Mark Melancon.
I knew that you would.
And he was asked a question last night about the Braves almost blowing their lead, and he did not particularly like the way the question was asked or worded.
Mark, can you look at this as, you guys almost blew the entire lead, but can you look at it as, hey, we survived, and that's all the postseason's about. You showed something there in the end by against a team like that. I mean, you're up 2-0 now. However you got there.
I mean,
can you take a positive out of it, even though you blew most of that lead? You still
We didn't blow a lead. I don't really understand your question.
Can you still take something positive out of this? You're still up 2-0 in the series despite, you know, blowing a big lead. Can you leave this thing feeling, you know, good that you survived this game?
I think that's a terrible question. I'm not even going to answer it.
So he's kind of right. They didn't blow a lead.
I know.
They almost blew a lead.
Well, I was curious to hear where you would weigh in on this, Michael, and I'm surprised that's your take. The internet was kind of celebrating Melancon for kind of sunning this reporter. And I acknowledge it was a clunky, poorly worded question. But I understand you can acknowledge the fact that you almost blew that game.
Can you take anything positive? We won the game. Yeah, that's the positive I take. We're up 2-0 over a Dodger team that's the best in baseball. Yeah, I take a lot of things positive.
So what you just did was an answer, though. What he did was just kind of act like a jerk.
What do you take out of it? Because you blew the lead. They didn't blow the lead.
I know. Here's what I'll say. It's a clunky, poorly worded question. It's one of those I gotta ask a question questions.
Yep.
But we've he doesn't there. Have to be treated that way either. I mean, all right, it's a bad question, but he doesn't have to be humiliated. It just say we won the game. We're happy about it.
Oh my God! And it was celebrated all over the internet. The internet loved crushing this reporter for asking a bad question when really you just won the game. Why do you have to make this dude look like garbage? Why don't you answer the question?
Can I help all of our young listeners and viewers that might want to get into the business? Because when I have my classes at the new school, they'll be very expensive, by the way.
I can't wait.
When you ask a question, ask it quickly. Ask it succinctly. Do not meander. You lose everybody. That guy was meandering because he couldn't get the words out. There's people I respect that do the same thing. You just cringe when you listen to ask questions. Ask a question that has an answer to it. Don't give the guy five different ways to get out of the question that you want answered. Ask the question quickly, effectively, and you'll get a better answer. There, that's worth the $2,000 you'll get at K University.
Would he have been better off saying, "Hey, you guys were up 8-3 going to the ninth. You almost blew the game. Do you come away from a game like that just feeling great about the win or concerned about the fact that you almost blew it?
How much did that ninth inning make you sweat?"
But that's not the question. That's not even asking the question anymore.
Yeah.
Now you've changed it completely.
But what is the question?
I believe the question is, do you really feel good about a game that you win when you almost blow it? Or do you come away being like, eesh, that was too close?
But that's what Michael's saying.
Don't say, or do you come? You're giving him the answer.
Is that ninth inning concerning?
Do you take anything out of that ninth inning that's concerning moving forward?
Okay, there you go. That's it.
And also, you had a good question until you gave him the answer.
Right.
Or do you whatever? This is all going to be taught at the new school.
I can't wait for this class.
I'm going to be the type of a professor, tweed jacket, patches on the sleeves, and a pipe.
Will you smoke the pipe at that point?
No. It'll just be
you'll bite it.
Yeah.
Well, a little inside media, though, because we've all been in this situation, and we're all guilty of doing exactly
what that individual did.
Well, it's not that bothers me, too. But this is not center stage. Okay, this is not a one-on-one interview where I get to do all this kind of prep. It's in a lot of times in impromptu situations. Zoom makes it very difficult. You hit a button, you're the next person to ask a question. Sometimes you're ready to ask a question, and the person before you maybe asks the same question.
Yep.
Where if you're in the scrum, you can kind of just not say anything, but you've already hit the hand up. They're going to you. Michael and I go back and forth, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes Michael will ask my question.
Yep.
So now I've got to quickly come up with another question or pause, which is the signal for Michael to ask another one. All right? And sometimes it might come across clunky because now in 2 seconds I got to come up with another question.
Yep.
So sometimes that happens. So give us a break. All right? You're the big bad ball player. I get it. You want to look, the media's evil. But did the guy need
That's
to be humiliated when there could have been a million
Mark
different
Melanson,
excuses why not?
I mean, he's a pretty good dude.
Right.
He's not a bad guy. Been on the Yankees twice. I mean, he's certainly not that guy.
He was a Giant.
Yeah, he's not that guy. So maybe it did bother them that they almost blew the lead. And this guy's got a meandering question that, you ever see the board on Candyland? That was his question. Over here by the ice cream, and then all of the lollipops, and then stop.
If he's such a good guy, why is he going by Melanson when his name's clearly Melancon, my man?
Well, I just don't think that anybody needs to be humiliated like that. It wasn't a clown question like Harper. It was just a legitimate question that he had trouble spitting out. Did he have to be humiliated? Like what Michael Strahan did that to me. I've told that story. Where
what was your question again?
It was we were in the room.
Why do you have a gap in your teeth? He said.
Wow. Well, no wonder he responded that way. It's just rude.
Robert Smith was the running back for the Minnesota Vikings.
I remember him. I was a fan.
Right, and there was
number 27, I believe.
There was another, and I can't think of his name.
Or 26.
There was a Robert. There was a Giant that had a similar name on the defense that was not going to play in that game. So instead of saying the name of the player that was hurt, I said Robert Smith, and instead of Strahan going, do you mean our Giant or? He had to be like, well, why would I be? He's not hurt. He's on the other team. He just had to completely humiliate me in front of everybody when he knew darn well that I screwed up the question. Like, I didn't need to be treated that way.
So I've never heard the story. So this is – now you see this guy's overwhelming success. He's on every single minute of television. It bothers you.
Well, I like Michael. All right? I do. And I've interviewed him after that, and he's always been cool to me. But as much as I love Michael Strahan, when he played Michael, he liked to be that guy. He had
Remember
a very
sandwich?
Love-hate relationship with the media, yes. You know, with this sandwich spitting out of his mouth when a reporter asked him a question. He had that love-hate relationship with the media. And I was not – I covered him for The Fan in 1999. That wasn't a very good football team. You know, I wasn't Steve Serby. I wasn't somebody there that was like forever. I guess he was just in a bad mood, wanted to take it out on me. I mean, I'm a big boy. I can take it. I understand it. But – you don't have to be that way with these people. I didn't ask something malicious. We didn't have a history of me asking clown questions. I just kind of screwed up names, and he could have let me off the hook. He decided not to. But
I think you deserve to be put on the $100,000 pyramid now as a mea culpa.
You know, it's funny, Don. What's your name, Michael? You made a joke to Don about did you ask him about the gap in his teeth? Because obviously he wouldn't, because that would be rude and unprofessional.
We talked about it on center stage.
Well, that's different. I mean, it's I once the question I think I'm most embarrassed about, and there are lots. I've done a bad job many, many times, but the worst thing I think I ever did was I was interviewing a guy who I'm now friends with. And I, in the interview, I was like, hey, what's up with your teeth? Oh, that's what I said. Now, I felt justified because, like, I was like, I thought his image at the time was stupid and the song was derogatory or whatever. So I had some way of justifying it. I was wrong. I was just an idiot. Really, well, a bad job.
I'm ashamed. On center stage told me the things that, like, he's had to put up with his teeth. Like, everybody said, well, one tooth says next tooth 1 mile. Do you floss with rope? Stuff like that.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's dealt with it for a long time. Anyways, I'm ashamed.
Human rake.
Human rake. That's not nice.
That's awful.
One other question from last night that was weird.
I didn't call him that.
Walker Buehler was asked about his pants.
That was two nights ago.
Let's hear it.
Walker Buehler's pants were trending on Twitter tonight.
Pray another time or a place, Michael.
See, I thought he was right. They just lost the game. You're asking about his tight pants?
Is that the same guy?
This is game one. He lost the game. And it was trending on Twitter that he was wearing extraordinarily tight pants. You don't ask him that after a game.
But no, is it the same?
Walker Buehler's pants were trending on Twitter tonight.
Pray another time or a place, Michael.
Mark, can you look at this as,
guy's name is Michael.
Yeah, you guys almost blew the entire lead, but can you look at it as, hey, we survived.
Walker Buehler's pants were trending on Twitter
the same guy.
Tonight.
It's a rough
Mark, can you look at this as, yeah, you guys.
Don, same guy?
It sounds like the same guy, Michael.
Rough couple
of days.
And
that's why Melanson jumped him.
Yeah, maybe he's like their buddy who they have there, who they all know is just a bit off, and he just asks bad questions and they're used
Although
to it.
Although Buehler is with the Dodgers and Melanson's with the
It's a great point by you.
The Braves.
Let's hear from Roger Goodell, see if he does any better, talking about how flexibility will be a key for this NFL schedule to work out.
Flexibility is going to be critical. We evaluate, obviously, as many different areas that we think will be at least helpful. Fortunately, we haven't had to use many of the things that we have discussed and thought about, but we will have flexibility to be able to complete our season for the Super Bowl. That's the goal. We are all focused on that, but to do it safely, and that's the critical component. We want to make sure that every decision we're making is based on safety and make sure that we can do that. Complete the season in a way that we're all proud.
They're going to have to use the 18th week, and it's so easy. Just don't have the week between, you know, the extra week between the Super Bowl and the championships, well, the conference championships.
I think what they should do is they should create a week between week 16 and week 17.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Then you don't have the extra week off if you actually won your division.
So that a team that has a bye doesn't go 3 weeks without playing a football game. And well, you have the flexibility.
They gained a little bit of free time the week before the Super Bowl because there will be no Pro Bowl for the first time since 1949. Can't believe they've been doing that.
Honestly,
for COCTA events since 1949.
Who would play in it? First of all, you're not going to have any fans, you wouldn't think. And
no fans. No one wanted to play in it before.
Right. They had no choice but to do this.
But they're still going to choose the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, well, you got to still have Pro Bowlers.
Yeah, you still have to find out who would have gone to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, it's called
actually. You know what?
You don't have to do a Pro Bowl.
It'll be better than most years' Pro Bowls
because nobody will turn it down.
Because people won't turn it down, and you won't have these fake Pro Bowlers. You'll just have everyone turn it down.
Excellent point by you. You're proving your worth every day.
This will be a more legitimate Pro Bowl than usual. Another big star down for the year. Cardinals pass rusher Chandler Jones, season-ending bicep surgery.
It's a big blow for them.
He suffered the injury against the Jets on Sunday, and Cliff Kingsbury declined to provide specifics, but it'll be 3 to 4 months of recovery time.
Oh.
Cam Newton's set to come back to practice for the Patriots.
That's right, Cam.
After his COVID-19 positive, but he is on track to start Sunday against the Broncos.
I guess the good news with all these positive tests that have been popping up over the last few weeks, that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think anybody has really had any major symptoms, right? I mean,
Chris Christie had problems.
No, I understand
that. He was in the hospital for like 8 days, so I'm sure that wasn't fun. I think the president had problems.
No, but...
Neither of them are a picture of health to start out with, though.
Yeah, I mean...
The athletes are doing pretty well.
And in Chris Christie's situation, he has asthma. He's overweight. So he had underlying symptoms for sure. So that probably led to his hospitalization. But we have seen these athletes overcome. You know, they've had it. Some of them had very mild symptoms to being asymptomatic and have been able to get back onto the field. That's good news.
Mm-hmm. It's also good news that people that are symptomatic and have clear underlying conditions, they're making it. That's good news. I think there's a better handle on what's happening. I mean, people are still going to perish from this, but I think that's good news that people that are compromised are making it with
And the death rate doesn't appear to be going up.
Well, you read like an animal, Michael. I mean, just you consume everything
voraciously,
very voracious.
And correct me if I'm wrong as well. I've seen where there's been talk that this may have mutated into something that is more contagious but less dangerous.
Yeah,
that kind of makes sense.
I don't think anybody really because there's also stories I read yesterday in the Times that you know people are getting it again, and sometimes the second time you get it, it's worse. So, or sometimes you get it a second time and you're asymptomatic, but you could still spread it.
Well, there's obviously going to be conflicting reports and all that, but when you look at the fact that it seems to be spiking, but to Peter's point, there seems to be less deaths, that maybe it's not this strain of it, because I would think over 7 months it probably is mutated a couple of different times, right, to where maybe it's more contagious, but it's not as dangerous. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
7-0 over Braves.
Oh, dear God. Now, they've obviously recovered from what happened last night.
No, they were not the ones that recovered. They almost came back.
But they didn't. They lost. They were down 2-0.
Yeah, but that big ninth inning now has spilled into this first inning.
Is this still the first inning?
Yeah.
So between the ninth and the first, they're up to 11 runs?
So all of a sudden,
now there's 8-0 now, two outs.
That question has aged tremendously. Right? I'm almost like, if I'm that guy, I'm probably calling Melanson right now in the bullpen to say, how you like me now?
Well, hold on. But why, Don? Because the question was supposed to be about whether there's still positive you can take away.
Well, he was asking.
Oh, because you're saying.
He was clunky. He was very clunky, but he was asking, do you take that as a positive or a negative? Like, hey, we didn't give up the lead. But boy, or is it a negative? Like, boy, we need to do better. Well, you know what? It's now what, Michael? 12 unanswered runs by the Dodgers.
I have a question for you, Don, a strategy question. Are you surprised that Roberts went for the 2-point conversion that early on the first score?
I mean, the analytics, Michael, tell you that you almost have to.
Dodgers going to win the series, by the way.
I don't think they're going to lose another game.
Wow.
Mark my words, they'll win this and sweep the World Series.
I like where you guys are at. Let's go back on this day in sports history.
Let me guess.
You want to guess?
Well, I need the date. I need the year.
October what if I don't 14th. Have that?
How can you not have the year?
Based on what I remember, this first one's around 03.
1903 or 2003?
Let's go to 2003.
Is it? No, it's...
Well, let's just hear it.
Early for Boone.
Well, if you don't know, Don?
I don't know.
2003.
Again in the air, down a left field line. A little reaching into the stands and couldn't get it, and he's livid with a fan. That's awfully close to fan interference right there. The umpire's all over it. If a Lou has to reach into the stands, it's fair game for the fans to catch the ball. If the fan reaches out over the field, then it can be ruled fan interference. That is very, very close.
One of the great injustices in life Bartman's life has been ruined because of that. And they had so many more opportunities to close that inning and close that game. That kid did nothing wrong. It's terrible.
What was it, Adrian Hernandez? The shortstop?
Alex Gonzalez, right?
Made just an egregious error after that had happened that would have bailed him out of it. You know what? He's a professional that should make that play. That poor kid, he's got the headphones on, Peter, right? He's just Joe Fan, probably he's never missed a pitch in his life. And you could just see the look on his face, just how devastated he was.
It was awful.
It's a shame.
And also, this next one, I would say, RJ, what is this, 2015? All right. Let's go back to 2015. Jose Bautista, and really the beginning of like this bat flip era, was truly in full swing.
We were on the air, Michael, remember? We saw it live while we were on the air in real time. And boy, Peter is right. It was the bat flip heard around the world, which really, when you think about where we've been over the last 5 years, it wasn't that big of a deal.
But boy, relative to where we would go after 2015, it was small news.
And how about our boy Kenny on the call?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.